Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of the podcast Silverwolf Speaks from WolfPow.com. I'm Silverwolf, and today I'm alone. I don't have a special guest, but I promise next episode I will have a number of special guests, so look forward to that. Anyway, since I'm all alone, today is going to be a shorter episode, but I'm just going to talk about two things. The first is some good Superman comics, and the second is DC's upcoming Villains Month. Anyway, let's get down to business. So one thing that I hear when I talk to a lot of people about Superman is he's boring. A lot of people will say, oh, you know, Superman's cool, but he's got too many powers. You can't really beat him. There's really nothing you can do with him. I know for the site, I've already written an article about this. So if you want to hear me talk more about that, you can read the article, which I'll link in the description below. But I'm just here today to talk about some Superman comics that I think showcase ways in which writers can use Superman without resorting to tired and tested tropes of, oh, he's going to get beaten by a kryptonite laser or something similarly stupid. So the first on the list is All-Star Superman, written by Grant Morrison, which is one of the most famous modern Superman comics. I don't know if I should say the most famous, but it's definitely up there. And the great thing about All-Star Superman is it takes place in its own continuity. It's just this story that's Superman, Lex Luthor at each other again. Superman's life is ending because he's been poisoned by solar radiation, and he has a limited amount of time to complete these so-called great 12 feats, kind of like the 12 labors of Hercules before his death. And it's just a really great comic. You know, there's 12 comics in the series. It's a pretty quick read. It's very interesting. It has everything you could want from a Superman story. Lois Lane gets a lot of great character development in it. The art from Frank Quitely is absolutely stunning. There's a lot of really fun moments and some really, truly powerful lines and great writing. I know Grant Morrison can be kind of a polarizing writer. I myself often find some of his stuff a little bit too out there and sometimes too heavy-handed. I think All-Star Superman is probably Morrison's perfect balance. It's just got enough of the kind of strange, weird stuff to be interesting and make you think, but at the same time, it's straightforward. All right, next on the list is Superman Red Sun, which I've reviewed for the site. In fact, my first ever review for Moapala almost 2 years ago. Wow, has it been 2 years? Yeah, I guess so. Well, anyway, my first review for the site was Superman Red Sun, which is actually the comic that got me back into the fold of buying and reading comics regularly. So it kind of holds a special place in my heart. I kind of return to the comic every few months to reread it and think about it because it's just so well done. I've lent this comic, my copy, to probably, gosh, at least a dozen other people. I mean, one of my friends even took the comic overseas to England. So my copy has been just about everywhere a comic could be. But anyway, Superman Red Sun is the story of if Superman's spaceship landed in Soviet Russia rather than the United States, which in and of itself is just a great concept. Mark Miller, or is it Millar? I don't know. I'm just going to call him Miller. Mike Miller does a great job kind of presenting what if Superman had grown up in a communist society. And some people might say, oh, communist Superman, that makes no sense. But interestingly enough, a lot of the early themes that Siegel and Shuster created when they first came up with Superman was he was kind of a man of the people. In a way, you could say he was a socialist icon. And again, that comes up in some of Grant Morrison's work, especially for the New 52 Action Comics, but that's an entirely different story, maybe a topic for a future podcast. But basically, Superman Red Sun takes this concept and really plays with it. You know, what if Superman kind of ruled all of the Eastern Bloc? What would happen? And then there's Lex Luthor in America, and then a lot of other concepts come out. Batman shows up, but not in the traditional sense you'd think. The Green Lantern Corps makes an appearance. Wonder Woman is a major character who has some great characterization. So Superman Red Sun, it's just very interesting because it's a traditional Superman story, but transplanting him in a way that makes it more interesting. Alright, the third comic on my list is Superman Brainiac by Jeff Johns. That comic actually very recently got a screen adaptation for DC Animated Movies in what's called the Superman Unbound, I believe it is. I haven't watched Unbound yet, but I've heard good things about it. Sorry about that, everyone. I briefly got interrupted. But anyway, back to what I was saying. So the third comic on my list is Superman Brainiac, written by Geoff Johns. It recently got a screen adaption called Superman Unbound. It was a DC Animated Movie. I didn't watch it myself, but I heard it's very good. I'm actually thinking of trying to pick up the DVD in the next few weeks and doing a review of that, since I never reviewed the comic, which I enjoyed very much. But Superman Brainiac, I think, is a great comic because it first off, it pits Superman against Brainiac, who I think is just an awesome villain. I mean, he's so awesome that his name Brainiac became a word in our common lexicon. I mean, that's pretty cool in and of itself. But anyway, I digress. So it's Superman fighting someone who isn't only strong, but also super smart. So Brainiac isn't so much trying to overpower Superman as he is trying to outsmart Superman. And obviously, you know, that happens in a lot of stories with Lex Luthor, but Brainiac really cranks it off the scale when he tries to outsmart Superman. And really what this story shows, which I think is so great, is Superman's weaknesses beyond, you know, just kryptonite. In this story, it proves that Superman's greatest burden is that he has all this limitless power, but he can still fail. There can still be moments when there will be someone he cannot save, no matter how hard he tries. He can fight with all his might. He, you know, fly at the speed of light, but still, there will be people who will suffer. There will be people who will die, and it will be his fault, regardless of what actions he takes. So that's really what makes Superman Brainiac such a great story. Also, on this list, it's probably the shortest of all the things I listed. I mean, Red Sun's pretty short too, but Superman Brainiac, I think, was told over the course of 3 issues of Action Comics, so it's a really quick read. So seriously, if you say you don't have any time for Superman's story, if you can squeeze something in, go for something like Superman Brainiac. You'll speed right through it, but you'll really enjoy it. All right, the fourth and final comic on the list for today is Superman Last Son, also by Geoff Johns. Superman Last Son, I've also reviewed for the site, and I think it's another great story. Another reason I love it, General Zod. General Zod is the main villain, and he brings with him an army of Kryptonians from the Phantom Zone. For those who don't know, the Phantom Zone is kind of like this parallel reality where on Krypton, instead of putting their criminals in jail, they send them to this zone, the Phantom Zone, where basically you're a ghost, as the name would suggest. You can't really interact with anything. You're kind of just trapped there between reality. And so General Zod basically breaks out of the Phantom Zone with his lover, Ursa, and they wreak havoc on Metropolis, and they just kind of destroy everything. But in the midst of this, Superman meets this kid who has Kryptonian powers. And, well, I won't spoil it for you guys. You might be able to guess where this is going, but it's a really interesting story, especially now that Man of Steel is coming out in about 2 weeks, which has Zod as the main villain. You know, it might be a good time to revisit something like Last Son, because it's a really good Zod story. Actually, you know what? Before I go on to Villains Month, I should say this. I think, and it kind of segues into it, I think Superman has some of the best villains out there. I mean, people say, oh, you know, Batman is the best rogues gallery. I disagree. I respectfully disagree. Batman does have some great villains, but Superman's rogues gallery is really the best. Because if you can cause problems for Superman, that's awesome. You know, Lex Luthor, he's a regular human. He has no powers. He's just really smart, has a lot of capital. In fact, you could almost call him an evil parallel to Bruce Wayne. You know, he's got all these resources at his disposal, but he uses them for profit, which he then uses in order to try and stop Superman. And then there's Brainiac, who I mentioned earlier, who is an alien entity, can control tons of machines, super powerful, ridiculously intelligent, you know, can plan ahead, outsmart Superman at every turn. He's actually, in some continuities, blamed partially for the destruction of Krypton. In the new Action Comics for the New 52, he was the first major villain and just, you know, almost took over or destroyed the entire world. It's not really clear. But anyway, Bizarro. Bizarro is another great Superman villain. Again, another word that has become part of our lexicon, was originally the name of a Superman villain. Bizarro, who's basically the mirror of Superman. He has all of his powers, but kind of slightly messed up. But his goal is really just to destroy. You know, whereas Superman stands for truth, justice, the American way, Bizarro stands for destroying everything and proclaiming himself the best. And I'll say this, transitioning to my Villain Month discussion. This morning, I saw DC posted a link talking about Villains Month, and the first picture I saw was that Bizarro is going to be the major villain for Superman Villains Month. And I was so excited. I love Bizarro. He has not shown up in the New 52 yet, and I think that's totally awesome. Oh, how can I forget Cyborg Superman? Cyborg Superman's another great villain who came about during Reign of the Superman, who's Hank Henshaw, but he's the scientist who lost his body because of a cosmic ray or something and ended up having to clone himself a body using Superman's DNA, and he added all these Kryptonian cybernetic parts to it. So he's another one who both has all these amazing abilities and can interface with technology, but is also a genius, and again makes him very interesting. But yes, Hank Henshaw, the Cyborg Superman, is going to be introduced in Supergirl, I think, next month, and then for Villains Month in Action Comics, he's going to be the villain. Actually, I realize I didn't even explain Villains Month, so let me backtrack a second. Basically, for months there's been this rumor that in September DC was going to do something called Villains Month. DC has already declared that every September from now on they're going to do some big event. So 2011, New 52, they relaunched all their titles. 2012, they did Zero Month, where every title got a number zero issue. They went back to the characters' origins, in most cases, or kind of told new stories with the foundations of the characters. So for a few months, people have been saying, oh, you know, fall 2013, it's going to be Villains Month in October. But, you know, DC never officially came out and said it until today. There have been rumors, but no covers, no art, none of that has surfaced. But today, DC released all these covers. I already talked about Superman Action Comics. I believe they also did Batman, which has the Joker, which I don't really know what they're going to do with that, since in Death of the Family, they kind of got rid of the Joker. And also, Scott Snyder said he didn't want to do anything with the Joker. I don't know if it's going to tie into this Batman Zero Year, which is this upcoming retelling of Batman's origin. So I don't know if it's going to be a story in the past where it's about Joker screwing around with Batman then, or if it's going to be about a kind of future story moving forward. I'm guessing it's going to be a story in the past, if only because in the picture on the cover, Joker's face is attached to him, and, you know, Joker got his face cut off. I don't really know if they'd retcon that just yet, but I guess anything's possible. These are comics, after all. It's not serious business or anything. Despite the way I talk about it. Let's see, who else was on the cover? I think the Creeper was on the cover of Justice League Dark, which the Creeper's been in the series Katana, which I haven't read, so I can't really say much about that, and I don't read Justice League Dark. Grodd, Gorilla Grodd, is going to be on the cover of The Flash, so Grodd's getting his own title there. That makes me happy. I was reading the Flash issues with Guerrilla Warfare since the New 52 started. Those have been great. Darkseid's going to come back in Justice League, which is pretty cool. Again, I don't know if it's going to be about him fighting the League or if it's just going to be just an issue starring Darkseid kind of talking about his motivations and what he's doing. But the thing that made me the most excited, and they didn't show a picture of this, but Dan DiDio, who's one of the higher-ups at DC, talked about it. He is writing an issue starring Eclipso. Also, he announced that there's going to be more than 52 titles coming out for Villains Month. The reason that makes me so excited is Eclipso was the main villain in Sword of Sorcery, and Sword of Sorcery was canceled, much to my dismay. So if Eclipso is getting his own title for Villains Month, that screams to me that Amethyst is going to come back, and at least we're going to get to see a little more of the Nilla plotline. Even if Amethyst doesn't get a solo title, which honestly I'm praying that she gets a solo title, because that the fact that series got canceled, the fact that series didn't sell well, is a travesty. You know I sound like I'm overplaying it, but honestly, it was a complete travesty. I'll link my review of Sword of Sorcery number 8 below for this. But honestly, Sword of Sorcery was such a good series with so much potential. Christy Marks and Aaron Lopresti poured their heart and soul into that series, and it really deserved a longer run than it got. But, you know, if it can get just this little epilogue, I will applaud it. I'll be very happy. But yeah, ultimately Villains Month, DC has released, I think, six to eight of the covers. So still there's a lot we don't know. Oh, Green Arrow got Count Vertigo. That was another one I saw. That made me excited because Count Vertigo is cool. I like Green Arrow. But anyway, back to what I was saying. So Villains Month. You know, there's a lot of guesses going around. Probably Black Manta will be the Aquaman one. You know, maybe they'll finally have that fight to the death they implied all the way back in, I think it was Aquaman number 14. I don't know. We'll see, I guess. There's a lot of distinct possibilities. I know there's going to be Two-Face is going to be in Batman and Robin, which is cool. Poison Ivy gets Detective Comics. They're probably going to bring in someone like Bronze Tiger. I know they're talking about bringing in Bronze Tiger and Red Hood and the Outlaws, so maybe he's going to be the one for that series. I don't know. But basically, the long and short of it is, I can speculate all day, but I'm excited for this. I think it's cool that we're going to get an examination of the villains. DC has a great rogues gallery to play with. There's a lot of potential here. I'm not sure if this is going to interrupt the series that are coming up. This is just going to be, you know, standalone villain issues that happen either before or after the current plot lines, or if these are going to take place sandwiched into the current story. Because, for instance, I know The Flash is in the middle of a 6-part story arc, which just started last month, about him fighting the Reverse Flash, but this Grodd issue is going to come in midway through, so I don't know if it's going to be part of that storyline or if it's going to be kind of its own thing. But, you know, I guess anything's possible. Anyway, that's all I have for you all today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I know it was much shorter and, you know, it was just me talking, so I guess it's a different format than usual, but in the future, I should have a guest star on most of the upcoming episodes. Anyway, until next time, I hope you all are having a good one. And if you ever want to talk comics, you can always contact me at brett@moapow.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at SimonSaysStuff, says spelled S-E-Z. Anyway, have a good one, everyone.